Right now, on the front page of the Metro section, there was a story at the bottom about about wireless network across South Carolina and what we're going to be doing with our broadband that South Carolina owns. And I have Mr. Brett Bercy, the director of the South Carolina Progressive Network, on the phone. Brett, how are you?
I'm well, Fred. Thank you.
All right, you made the didn't make the front page. Okay, you were on the inside of the story.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been that much of a story if I hadn't been banging on the table for the last year.
All right, give us the background of this.
Well, everybody knows about the digital transition for broadcasting in the United States. We all suffered through the digital transition of the commercial television that we get at home. Also, pretty much behind the scenes, is a digital transition for other spectrums. In the South Carolina Educational Television System, owns 67 broadcasting licenses for what's referred to as educational broadband. And South Carolina is the only state in the nation that the state owns all the licenses and owns all of the broadcast capability. The only state. And so with the digital transition, there's excess capacity because digital takes less space, and there was an initiative to lease out the excess capacity. And the legislature has been kicking this can down the road for over 2 years now, pretty much with a majority opinion being privatize it, take the money and put it in the bank. And that the privatization of the ETV's broadband spectrum would be through leasing the spectrum to two companies, Clearwire and Digital Bridge, got the contracts. And the income from leasing this for 30 years is $147 million.
All right. Well, that may sound like a lot of money, but before we move on, there was some type of a time frame that they had to make a decision by a certain date, correct?
The bottom line time frame is you have to have what's called a significant service by May 2011. And so that's, what, a year and a half from now. But it takes a while to get the system set up. They're saying maybe 6 months. So it's not like it's not like an emergency. It's not like we're going to blow it if we don't do it tomorrow.
And who gave us that time frame?
But there is a deadline.
Who gave us the deadline?
Who gets to run it?
No. Who gave us the deadline?
Oh, this is the Federal Communications Commission.
All right.
That if you do not transition your existing licenses to the digital spectrum and show that you're using them, you lose the licenses.
Okay.
That's the downside in the big picture.
All right.
And so South Carolina had to do something. And we have no objection with leasing out a percentage of the spectrum to private companies and putting the money in the bank. Fine. What we wanted to do, we're still fighting for, but we lost the fight in the subcommittee yesterday, is for the state to retain what's called the mid-band. There's a low band, a mid-band, and a high band. And the mid-band contains 25% of the spectrum. And there, right now, there's 5% of the spectrum that the license holder has to keep. That's ETV keeps 5%. The other 95% is being leased to these private companies. And that the retention of the 25% that we've been arguing for would allow the state of South Carolina to have the nation's only publicly owned statewide WiMAX system that could provide everybody in the state with a more robust broadband than you're getting from your cable or your DSL now.
All right. So right off the top, people are going to say, well, what about I get my DSL through AT&T? I've got Roadrunner. Isn't that going to put them out of business?
Well, we have to look at the larger picture in terms of the public money versus the private money. I think Frank Knapp should continue paying through the nose for his broadband service.
Well, gee, thanks.
Now, the schools, the 235,000 kids that get free lunch that don't have money for lunch probably don't have money for broadband. The first responders. These systems that we're giving up could give capabilities to the cops and to the first responders to have online access to all their databases anywhere in the state. Right now, the Highway Patrol, to get online to check and see if you're like a pedophile, is they have to drive somewhere to get a connection or go back to the district office. So the utilization of this public spectrum is just immense. It's everywhere. Unlike commercial signals, you know, you can drive around in South Carolina and you lose your cell phone signal.
Right.
This ETV broadband is everywhere. And so we would have, for the first time, 100% coverage of the state, a stronger signal. And so let's not compete with AT&T or Telcom or wherever you're getting your thing from. Let's just look at the public cost, the taxpayer money, the money that the counties are paying and the schools are paying, and what that amounted to in the state agencies. The state agencies last year spent nearly $71 million for telecom services. $71 million. And so if we keep the 25% we're talking about, as Glenn McConnell said yesterday, well, the state, you know, we would lose $38 million. And so we'd take that $38 million and put it in the bank. Well, McConnell is protecting not the interest of the public, because the taxpayers over the 30 years of this license, if we paid $71 million last year, that's just the states. It looks like the counties collectively are spending maybe $3.5 million. That's like $75-plus million a year times 30 is over $2.2 billion of tax money over the 30-year lease.
Wow.
And so McConnell is telling the taxpayers, what a deal I've got for you. We're going to make $38 million. Oh, by the way, you're going to have to spend $2 billion to make up for it.
All right, so you're not opposed to them leasing out a large hunk of it. You just want to keep 25% for public use.
I would say they can have 75%. They get 75, we get 25. They make money. Glenn McConnell gets to put a little money in this Hundley project. And the people of South Carolina have the nation's number one educational broadband system.
Okay. Well, very good. I know you're frustrated, because now the next step is this thing goes to the Joint Bond Review Committee.
It goes to full committee next Wednesday, and this is this committee is composed of 10 people, 9 Republicans and 1 Democrat. The Democrat hoped, praise the Lord, it's Gilda Cobb Hunter, so if we're going to get run over, people will know it. But we're not optimistic of winning the vote in the full committee. And then the next month, it goes in front of the Budget and Control Board.
And I'm assuming then that this Virginia-based Digital Bridge Communications and the other entity, the
Clearwire.
Washington State-based Clearwire, they're not the ones really bringing all the political juice. It's probably the current providers of broadband.
Well, if you follow the money, the reality is that the telecom industries in this state are big players. In the last year, the telecom industry donated $376,339 to statewide candidates, Senate and House. $376 million last year. And these are the same companies, a long list of telecom providers, with AT&T leading the pack, that made $70-plus million last year. So the interest in the economic clout isn't necessarily from these two companies that are going to lease our spectrum. It's from the providers today that are making millions off the taxpayers that want to make sure that there's no public system that could take business away from them.
Right. The two entities that are going to do it and going to provide service to the urban areas, and then the other one's going to do it to the rural areas, that will provide some benefit to the public. I mean, it won't be free, because people want to buy it. Right?
Right. People are going to have to buy it, and we're hoping that there'll be better service than there is now. But there is nothing in the contracts that call for providing services to the 41% of the homes in South Carolina that the census said, the U.S. Census said in the beginning of this year, 2009, that 41% of the homes in South Carolina don't have broadband. And the bulk of those are in rural areas. And there is no, just like in the 30s, when there was no electricity out in the woods, and it wasn't financially prudent for a private company like SC&G to run a line way out in the woods to your house. So you didn't have electricity until the co-ops, the Rural Electrification Program, was created to get electricity to the rural areas. We proposed that we, in retention of our public broadband, that we could have co-ops. The regional cooperatives wanted to do this, but everybody's afraid of the political pressures here. that we have infrastructure in the rural areas that could provide broadband years, maybe decades, before people are going to get it out in the woods in South Carolina. And they turn that down.
Mm. You're not optimistic, are you?
I just hope that the rest of the world doesn't find out what South Carolina's getting ready to do and laugh at us more than they already have in the last few weeks.
Okay.
People all over the country that are involved in this issue, I'm waded in. It's been over a year ago in getting the Progressive Network involved in advocacy position to try and protect the public interest, and have become somewhat of an expert on the issue in talking to people all over the country that this is their thing. And, you know, to the person, they're all just incredulous what we have, and double incredulous that we would give it away.
Yeah. Brett Bercy, keep up the good fight.
Well, let me give folks a message
sure.
out there in Frank Knapp land that
okay.
if they want to know more about this or to find out about the Progressive Network's 14th annual retreat at Penn Center coming October 3rd, they can go to scpronet.com and find out all about it.
Very good. Brett, thanks a lot.
Thanks for being there, Frank.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks. All right, very good. Let's take a break. Come right back. Lynn Bailey should be with us. Stick around for more of You Need to Know. WOIC, Progressive Talk, 1230 a.m. I'm Frank Knapp.